Thank you, Praise Band. So let's kind of dive in here first with our scripture today, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to provoke one another in love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. If you have missed the last couple weeks, we are in the third week of our vision series. We're talking about the core values of this church and what we're striving to be. Reverend Landis started 2 weeks ago talking about that we are striving to be invitational. Last week, Reverend Christy Miller Black, she talked to us about being transformational. Today, I get to talk about being relational. If you know me in any way, shape, or form, you know that I'm like a kid in the candy store when it comes to this topic. It's something that I love. I believe it with my whole heart. I believe my ministry needs to be 100% relational. So I'm using the term that my wife and I use, framly. I'm sure a lot of you, maybe less of you than first service, probably looked at the bulletin or this and went, oh great, we let the youth director talk and he can't even spell family right. The word is framly, as Claire talked about. It's mixing friends and family together, having people so close. The word was actually, I would love to say it and take credit for it, but it was actually started by Sprint. If you remember 10 plus years ago in your cell phone service, the only people you could call for free was people in your family plan, right? You had two or three people that you could call, and after that, you had to wait till after 9 o'clock. I had those 200 minutes. I needed to make sure that I sparingly used my 200 minutes every month. Well, then Sprint changed the game, right? They had the family plan. They said, when you have people in your plan that you know you want to talk to that's just like family, why not add them? So you got to add 10 people into this plan. Well, when it came to my cell phone plan, I thought, this is great. Well, as a young 20-something, it also made it very awkward with your friends, because your friends would call you on the cell phone and you'd say, can I call you back after 9? Well, what? Why? Well, aren't I in your family plan? And then you had to have that awkward conversation that they didn't make the cut of the top 10 friends that you have. It became a completely awkward thing. But we continued on from that, and you know, obviously now kids will never have to understand the problems that we had to face of that entire thing. It was very stressful. But we've used that and we've changed it. And I love the picture here because this is my daughter. When I asked her to draw who was in her family, Jamie had her do this. And I can't really tell, but I mean, if you look close, you might recognize some of the youth or young adults, the different people in that picture. It obviously looks just like them. But that's the heart behind family, understanding that it's so much more. So we're going to dive right in, and we invited the kids to be part of this today. So in your bulletin, you can follow along and fill in the blanks with me. The number one thing, God created my family or framly. If you can't bring yourself to misspell the word family and you have to write it that way, otherwise, God created my framly. Did you catch that? Did you catch the importance of that little phrase? God created this church, all of the people in this room, God created this, a reason for us to come on Sunday morning and worship together. It was created on purpose. This wasn't just accidental that we came and happened to show up all 11:15, right? This was on purpose. And the thing about families, and we were reminded about this in staff this week, is we need to celebrate together. We need to celebrate the things that this church is doing. What a wonderful thing. My heart was touched. You know, we had, 68 kids at youth group last Sunday night. The brand new hub was packed. I need to celebrate that. Not look at who's missing, but celebrate that. We have so many things as a church that we need to celebrate. All too often, our mind goes to, you know, kind of that, well, God created this family, and yeah, we need to, no, we don't have to be okay. We have to be more. We need to celebrate all the wonderful things that God is doing in the life of this church. You know, I thought, and again, it's kind of this change in mindset. I thought I came from a family that celebrated. As I get to look over and see my parents and also my in-laws, this part is going to be a little awkward, so I'm going to look this way. But I thought I came from a family that celebrated stuff. I thought for sure, you know, the typical birthdays, all this stuff. Well, a couple months after I started dating Jamie, I was February 2nd, and she said, do you want to come over for dinner tonight? okay, sure. So we go over to her house and her parents' house, and I walk in and I look and I see pancakes and sausage. Okay, you know, having dinner for breakfast, that's not untypical. And she looked at me, she goes, "Do you get it? It's February 2nd, we're having sausage, do you get it?" And I'm like, "Oh, groundhog, I get it." So here's a family that celebrates Groundhog's Day, eating sausage every February 2nd, finding reasons to celebrate together, finding reasons to get together as a family and celebrate such unique things. That's where we fall short as a church, and that's where we need to get better. Let's celebrate these things. Back in 1876, in Deerfield, New Hampshire, the Deerfield Fair had gotten so big, so very big, that they were running out of room. They had nowhere to put all the livestock, all the different horse and buggies that were obviously in the time in 1876. Well, the churches got together and decided they were going to do a unique ministry. What did the church decide? They decided, as a church, we need to serve our community, and we're going to open up all of our horse sheds. It's obviously such a big deal that it was written about in history. Here are these churches reaching out, completely going, "Hey, we need to help serve our community. We need to reach out. We need to give our church a good name by opening our horse sheds. Here's this overflow." What a wonderful thing that 140 years later we can celebrate, right? But let's be honest. If I go to trustees next Wednesday and say, "Trustees, I want to build a horse shed so we can minister to the city of Midland," they would look at me rather crazy. It was a wonderful ministry at the time, and we can still celebrate those ministries. This church has so much history. Let's continue to celebrate the things that this church used to be, but let's also recognize, hey, that ministry might just have seen its better day, and we can still celebrate it. We don't have to continue to try to be that. We can celebrate those old ministries, and we can celebrate new ones within this church. That is what a healthy church looks like. That's what's being relational, continuing on. Point number two, God wants me to be part of the family. Again, a very simple statement, but I would say a very powerful statement. God wants you to be part of this family. You are desired, you are sought after. It's not just like, well, God's not going, "Well, if you show up, I can give or take." No, he wants you. He wants you to be involved. He wants you to be truly, truly, truly involved. He wants you not just to say, check a box and go, "Yep, I'm a member, I come." No, he wants you to be involved. He wants you as part of this family. I have a quote here, and excuse me, I'm going to have to step down because I don't have the teleprompter. This is by a pastor over in Mount Pleasant. I've got a chance to speak with him at a couple different youth engagements. Very powerful. He's a couple years older than me, so I'll call him a young man. Very powerful pastor. And he was talking about the fact that he always gets, and he was a youth pastor for many years, and he always gets these parents that say, "I don't get it. I can't get my kids to show up to church. I can't get my grandkids to come with me." So follow the power of this. Got to step a little bit farther away. Here's the secret. You have to be a part. Yep, you just model believing that because of Jesus, the local church is the hope of the world. Because of that, it's worth believing in. Giving your time and finances and being a raving fan of the church, your church. I love so many parts about this quote from Jason. I love the fact that it's reaching out. You as parents, you as grandparents need to not just be a fan, but a raving fan. When we talk to our kids about church, how do we talk about it? When we talk to our grandkids, do we just bring up the fact of, "Oh, this committee, I'm not getting along"? No. We need to be a raving fan of this church. We need to be positive. We need to treat each other with so much love and so much respect. We have no right to question why our kids or grandkids or people aren't coming to this church if we're not talking about our church in a positive manner. If we don't light up when we talk about what we have as a family on Sundays. Yes, there's parts of this church that are broken. You know what? Every church is, and that's okay. But the heart comes in how we react to that. The heart comes in how we handle situations as a church. The heart comes in how we we interact with each other and how we talk to the kids and young kids and everybody in our community. If we truly want our relationship with God to grow, we need to be not just involved, but we need to be truly involved in every aspect. My third point that I want to make is God gave me a job to do. Our job is to answer the call. So I was doing my devotions this week, and I was going through Matthew 4:19. And it talks about where Jesus is saying to be fishers of men. He's telling everybody that, right? Well, here's the point. Jesus is talking to them, and all of their jobs were to be, most of them were fishermen, right? So Jesus is telling them to be fishers of men. I don't believe in any way, shape, or form was Jesus going, this will be a little witty comment I get to make to the disciples. You know, I'll use a pun here. This was Jesus looking at them, calling them to so much more. This was Jesus being so much more to them and saying, you're a fisherman. I want you to be that for men. Do it for the glory of God. So my challenge to you is you have a job. Whatever your job was or is, do that for the glory of God. If you're a teacher, be a teacher for God. Be a teacher of men. If you're an engineer, be an engineer of men. Whatever your job is, you are called to do that job in the best of your ability to honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Not so you look good, not so you get a paycheck. Your job is to do that for God. As I go through this, and I was continuing in that devotional, the guy referenced the 200-year effect. Has anybody ever heard of this before? I hadn't until I read it. And he was talking about the fact of your life. So often we look at our life as, I was born this year, and whatever year I die, that's the effect I have on this world. And he challenged me and he challenged us so much more. That what you do on this earth will actually affect 200 years. And if you think about that, how you act, it's not just, you know, who I am and what created me, yes, was my parents, but it goes back to my grandparents and my great-grandparents, how they affected them, and it got passed on. And the way that I raise Izzy and Jackson, hopefully, get emotional there for a second. Hopefully someday when they have kids, it's going to affect how they raise their kids. So don't look at the things that we do. And we as a church, please don't look at how we act today as just affecting today. It's going to affect so much more. Here we look at that church of, you know, 140 years ago in New Hampshire, and we can celebrate that. But think about it. Today, for Midland First United Methodist Church, what we do is going to affect this church for years to come. Are they going to look back on what we did in 2016 in the fall, 140 years from now, and celebrate? I sure hope so. That's what we should be striving to do. In closing, I just want to just touch on one aspect. There's so many things that I wanted to talk about today. There's so many things that I just wanted to share with you my heart. But I really, more than anything, want you to hear this. The biggest part about being a family together, the biggest part that we need to work on, and I need to work on, is we have to be able to be honest. We have to be able to be real. We have to be able to understand that, just getting back to that entire family thing, growing up with the youngest of five, there's moments I was proud, there's moments I wasn't so proud of my brothers and sisters. But it was never okay for somebody else to pick on my brothers or sisters, right? It was never okay. I could do it. Justifiably. I could do whatever I wanted to do to my brothers and sisters. But nobody else better talk badly. If I said, oh, you know, my sister Beth, I can't stand this. And one of my friends would go, yeah, I agree. I would instantly get mad at them. How dare you talk about my sister that way? That's where our church needs to change. We need to get into a point where we stick up for everybody in this room. We stick up because we're family. And understand that an apology, the heart behind the apology is what matters. With Isabel and Jackson, one of the things that my wife, and I give her all the credit in the world with this, one of the things that she has them do is when one of them does something, and let's be honest, at almost 6 and 4, they do a lot of things, get under each other's skin, they have to apologize. But it's not just say, I'm sorry, because Jackson usually turns into, I'm sorry, and then he runs away. No, you have to stop and you have to look and you have to say, I'm sorry, and follow up with, do you forgive me? Because the heart of the apology is worth so much more. That's where our church needs to get to the heart of the apology and understand that we're family and understand that we have each other's back, that we are supporting each other and we're going to grow. And there's going to be things that you disagree with that I do, and there's going to be things I disagree with that you guys do. But understand that we are family. We're going to support each other and we're going to grow. So I, right before you as a church, say I'm sorry. There's times as on the ministry leadership staff that I've probably failed people in this room. And I hope that you can forgive me for those mistakes that I've made. But I would hope that you would also understand that I'm doing my best to try to invest and pour in. And I'm not going to make everything right. And I guarantee you, everybody in this room would agree, you don't make everything right. But that's what being a family is. That's what being relational is. Understanding that as you look around this room, if you look around in this sanctuary, we need each other. We need each other to be family. We need each other to pour and invest. I can't raise my kids by myself. I need your help. We have to do that together. We have to invest and pour into each other. We have to be so much more. And when we walk out this door, whether you're going to lunch or if you're just going home to hopefully watch the Lions win, whatever it is, that you have to understand that there's a world out there that needs you to be their family. There's a world out there that needs you to invest and show the light of Jesus Christ. As we talk about these core values, as we talk about this as a church, I think it's so fitting. All of these are the pillars that we are built on as a church. We need to be invitational. We need to be transformational. We need to be relational. We need to be able to be okay. I'll be honest, there was part of me, I had all these grand plans as I was working on this sermon. I was going to walk out and have just kind of one of those moments. Let's put it this way. First service, I was going to walk out in jeans and do the sermon in jeans just for that shock factor. This service, I was going to walk out in shorts for that shock factor. But then I went, why am I doing it? I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. Am I doing it to make a point, or am I doing it because I love the people in those pews? Am I doing it because that's what family does? They don't try to get under each other's skin. I'll be honest, it hurts. When I hear people talk about, oh, you know, this broke in the church, it was probably the youth that did it. Well, aren't we glad that the youth are here? I'll fix that. We need to care. We need to passionately care about our community. And when people come in here, we need to passionately care about them. We need to be family. We need to support each other. God has given you that job, and I pray that this week, that as you go, that you can show and you can reflect the light of Jesus Christ to this world. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to demonstrate true relational. As he walked those roads with the disciples and invested and poured into them, taught them lessons, worked with them. May we continue to take Jesus as an example, going forward and showing this world the light of Jesus Christ by being as Christ-like as we possibly can to them. Give us opportunities to share our faith with others today and this week as we leave. It's in your strong and powerful name. Amen.
As a family, we serve one another. We lift each other up. Please stand as you're comfortable.